From the newsroom of Impact Alpha, I'm Brian Walsh, and this is your Impact Briefing for Friday, March 31st. Today, Impact Alpha's Dennis Price joins me to share which oil-pumping U.S. state is the surprise leader in clean energy, and how it could blow its opportunity. Hi, Dennis, and welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Brian. Good to be back.
But first, here's what you need to know from this week in Impact Investing. The collapse of Silicon Valley and Signature Banks sent customers fleeing to banks that are too big to fail. Market concentration could devastate low-income families, small businesses, and communities of color that big banks don't serve. So warns Calvert Impact's Beth Bafford and Bulba Gupta of Pacific Community Ventures in a guest post on Impact Alpha. Minority depository institutions, community development financial institutions, and credit unions have been a lifeline to underserved groups. Bafford and Gupta call for government investment in market infrastructure for community finance. It has long been a truism among impact investors that it's not possible to demonstrate true impact in public stock markets. But with total market capitalization of companies on stock exchanges worldwide exceeding $100 trillion, it's certainly worth trying. The GIN, the Global Impact Investing Network, this week introduced guidance for impact in listed equities to provide baseline practices and expectations. A key differentiator for an impact strategy, according to the report, is a theory of change. That's the cause and effect that the investor believes will contribute to targeted social or environmental objectives. With March Madness down to the Final Four, Impact Alpha hosted its own competition, Metrics Madness. On this week's Agents of Impact call, Napoleon Wallace and Dorian Burton of the Southern Reconstruction Fund challenged participants to identify a common metric for racial equity investing, just as climate investors can count tons of carbon. To see the fun finale, check out the instant replay on Impact Alpha. And now it's time for our featured conversation, and I'm joined once again by Impact Alpha's own Dennis Price. Now, Dennis, we teased it at the top, but surprise me, which state is the leading U.S. clean energy transition producer?
Well, everything's bigger in Texas, Brian, right? So perhaps it's not that much of a surprise.
So it is indeed Texas, the big state that you live in right now.
Yes, a relatively recent transplant. But seriously, I like this story because it breaks the narrative on at least two fronts, two long-running narratives. One, that so-called blue states will be the obvious winners and leaders of the low-carbon energy transition. And on the other side, it highlights the absurdity of recent Republican-led efforts to thwart climate policy, ban ESG, and be generally hostile to opportunities inherent in the transition. And that's especially true for GOP leaders running Texas at the moment.
So in what ways is Texas leading on renewables?
So there's some basic indicators, right? So they've already been leading in wind power. In the coming months, Texas will surpass California in installed utility scale solar. And on both fronts, solar and wind, Texas has more production in development than any other state.
Wow, but it's really more than just renewable energy, is that right?
Right. Texas is setting the pace on battery storage, EV fleets, heat pump deployment, and even virtual power plants. There's a fun projection that within a few years, electric vehicles in the state will be able to store as much energy as the state's energy grid. That's the virtual power plants. Texas is a big state, right? And those things are becoming cheaper, smarter, more efficient. So that makes sense. But it's also climate tech and new companies starting here in Austin. So Salugen, based in Houston, which is decarbonizing chemicals. Icon, here in Austin, which is printing climate and volatile weather resistant 3D homes. Quidnet, which is doing interesting stuff with pumped storage into old oil wells that serves as a reserve for energy. So there's beyond basic renewable energies, there's just a big push in general here in climate tech.
So Dennis, what explains Texas's lead in these renewables and climate tech?
Well, on the renewable front, I mean, again, it's a big open state. There's a lot of sun and wind, right? So it's smart. Texas has this unique competitive energy market where most states sort of give monopolies to utilities. In Texas, that means generators that are seeking the cheapest power have chosen renewables over the last 10 or so years as the cost of wind, solar, and storage have fallen. So renewables are just winning in a market-based system, which is kind of interesting. And then, of course, in Texas, you know, fairly business-friendly. There's just less red tape in getting projects going. But on the climate tech front, like you're seeing, I mentioned Solugen in Houston is drawing from the vast engineering talent that's moving out of the fossil fuel industry and into climate solutions. So there's just a huge amount of energy talent and engineering talent here in the state. And then they're also Texas is also home to large corporate buyers that have the purchasing power and can help scale these solutions quickly, which is something, again, Solugen had mentioned.
Now, as impressive as Texas has in the lead on both climate tech and renewables, you have done some reporting that seems to demonstrate that Texas wants to shoot itself in the foot on these two fronts.
Right, exactly. I mean, at some level, Texas's climate leadership, so to speak, is a function of economics. The market, again, is choosing better, faster, cheaper. And the state's politicians seem somewhat eager to thwart that, I guess for their own reasons. But even in something like the 2021 abortion ban and other sort of restrictive social policies you see coming out of Texas is discouraging talent from coming here. Solugen CEO Gaurab Chakrabarty has been vocal about that on Twitter and in conversations with me. So that's one issue. But even right now, as we speak, state legislators are holding hearings here in Austin on a slate of new bills that were introduced by Republican lawmakers in response to 2021's deadly winter storms that made national news, that knocked out the power grid and unfortunately killed hundreds. But Republicans have blamed the reliance on renewables for the outages, which has been shown to be not the case. But the bills would impose new fees and restrictions on renewables. One bill ties the amount of new renewable production that could be enabled to amount of natural gas in the pipeline, so that outpacing can't get any further. And it's in fact mandating new gas plants in the name of reliability. So in a way, it's rolling back that competitive market, that competitive energy market that we talked about earlier.
That doesn't sound very free market of them.
No, right? So again, a narrative break. As Doug Lewin, an energy consultant here in Austin, likes to say, there is no state better positioned to lead the U.S. energy transition than Texas, given its history in energy and vast resources. But it is Texas's game to lose. So we'll see.
So I guess don't mess with Texas, but hopefully Texas won't mess with the opportunity it sees before itself.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dennis Price.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
And that's going to do it for this week's Impact Briefing. Thanks again to Dennis and our producer extraordinaire, Isaac Silk. You can read more about all of these stories at impactalpha.com. Ready to try Impact Alpha? Sign up for Impact Alpha Open, totally free, directly at impactalpha.com. If you want to go deeper, grab a subscription and get full access to Impact Alpha, including the award-winning morning brief and our popular Agents of Impact calls. Just go to impactalpha.com/subscribe and choose an annual subscription. I'm Brian Walsh. Be sure to check back for next week's briefing. Until then, take good care.